Parents, is your teen college ready? Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, or excited about your teen applying to college? Do you know what colleges are looking for? And if your kid gets in, do you know what you'll pay for it? College admission has never been so competitive or expensive. Shelley Howard will take you on a journey to help you and your teen get college ready. Now here's your host, Shelley.
Hello, this is Shelley Howard with Parents, Is Your Teen College Ready? Today, I'm super excited to share with you my guest, Jen Vimont. And Jen is native of Chicago, but has lived a lot of different places, and I can't wait to share her story. She did obtain her master's in social work from the University of Illinois Chicago, and she is a licensed clinical social worker. But that's not really the path we're going to take today, because why I asked Jen to be on is she is the founder of Beyond the States, which I don't even know if she knows this, it inspired my fourth child to be studying abroad. So I am super excited to introduce to my listeners, Miss Jen Vimont. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. And I didn't know that about your child. That's very cool.
So we have been following you for quite some time. I am a love of travel. International travel is my thing. And my youngest has picked up on the desire to see the world. And so she will be attending AAU in Prague this fall. So I will be dropping her off in Prague in August.
You know that's where my son goes now, right?
I did not know that.
Yes.
Wow. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about, you know, his journey, and we can all learn from you. So how did you even get involved or start Beyond the States? I love to go all the way back to the why.
All right. So let's go back to when Sam, my oldest, was in eighth grade. And at that time, so he's 21 now. So whatever year that was. At that time, I'm sure you're familiar with Race to Nowhere, but that was a really big thing. And so the college admissions game in the U.S. was on my mind, and how he, like, really smart kid, but does not buy into systems that he doesn't buy into, if you will.
Okay.
So he would not be like padding his resume for colleges. That's not what he would do. So I was worried about that. I was worried about the cost. I mean, I was majorly worried about the cost. And then just, you know, everywhere I'd read, there'd be something about issues on college campuses, whether they're academic or social. So as a mom, I was worrying, and I'm a planner. So worrying and planning can be problematic. So I'm on Facebook, as many of us are, and I come across some article about a kid studying in Germany who didn't know German, had no idea you could actually do this beyond a semester abroad.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, you know what, I'll sit on the back porch and I'll look at this and see if it's something we should keep on our radar for, you know, 5 years down the road. So I got sucked in because there are so many options and it's so exciting. And I knew enough to know that we'd keep it on our radar, but I also knew enough that there would be other families who'd be interested too. So I spent that year. Let me tell you, when your kids are in eighth and fifth grade, it's a great time to travel a lot without them. You know, it's not the funnest age, eighth grade boys. So I spent that year traveling to Europe. I was visiting schools. I mean, of course, I was home a lot, but I was visiting schools. I was talking to administrators. I was talking to international students who are already doing this, because we're talking about a whole entire continent. You know, we're not talking about just one country. And so there are some similarities, but a lot of differences. So I gathered all that information, started Beyond the States, and it's grown to be really internationally recognized and known as the only single source of this information for American families, and the only one that's unbiased, because we don't take money from schools. So because of that, when there's a school I visit and I, you know, the hair on my arms kind of sticks up and I get that kind of bad feeling, I'm able to say that because I'm not taking money from schools, and really individualize and help people figure out the best school for them, not just, you know, kind of the best school. It's much more personalized than that.
I love that. So fast forward. So your son, he's your why. At what point did he start thinking this might be something I want to do?
Oh, eighth grade, when we talked about it.
Okay.
The school he was looking at then changed. And he's always been really interested in the Middle East. He's been interested in the politics, the culture, the you know, all of that. My brother lived in Turkey for a while. We're international travel people too. So when he was in middle school, we had visited Turkey and he kind of got the bug there. So he knew he was looking for something that would allow him to study this. That's what he thought initially.
Okay.
So he started in the Netherlands in a program that really did allow him to study this. Great school, Leiden University, wonderful school. They have this program called International Studies, where you choose a region and a language and study all about the culture, the politics. So on paper, it was exactly what he wanted.
Okay.
But he realized the educational approach wasn't what he preferred. And now he is at Anglo-American University in Prague doing international relations with a concentration in security studies.
Outstanding. So how did you then decide AAU was the fit for him?
Well, I knew that he wanted a more practical approach. You know, the theoretical approach was not what he was looking for. He's not like wanting to be a researcher. And security studies had always interested him. Prague was fascinating to him. And, you know, for the nice thing is because it's so affordable in Europe, taking, you know, a loss of a few credits that you have to retake through transferring is not a big deal because, you know, AAU were paying something like $6,000 a year in tuition because, so $6,000 a year. At Leiden was like at the top of the range for the tuitions, and it was like $11,000 a year. And that was like, and that's like really expensive in European terms. So, having that budget and both of these programs are 3-year programs. So yeah, he's graduating in 4 years now, but we're still paying, you know, comparable to what we'll pay for my daughter, who's decided to not only stay in the US, but to stay in state.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for those parents out there who are listening, they're like, one, I didn't even know this was a thing. You know, that was me. My firstborn in eighth grade said he wanted to be a brain surgeon. And I'm like, what? Like, okay, how do we do that? And, you know, he went to Harvard and he worked his path and now he's an orthopedic surgeon. My daughter, she's a nurse. My third, he wanted to go into broadcast journalism. So he stayed in state. Mm-hmm. And then my fourth, out of nowhere, I believe she was either reading your book or listening to your podcast. So I'm going to just blame this whole thing on you.
Right. And I'll take the blame.
Exactly. And she came and she actually presented a PowerPoint presentation to myself and her dad and said, this is what I want to do. And she sold us. Truly. Now, keep in mind, this is a child who's never studied, never been out of the country.
Wow.
So here's somebody who like absolutely is taking a leap of faith that this is her thing. But what really got her is one, the cost. So she's going 3 years for $27,000 and she'll have a 4-year degree. That was number one. Number two is she can travel all over Europe, right? And it's outstanding. And then finally, she decided she wanted to be a business entrepreneur, where it doesn't matter where you go to school, as long as you get the education. So before we knew it, we're signing up for this whole international program. And so I'm so excited to have you on the show. Now, for those parents who are like sitting there scratching their head going, one, I didn't even know this was a thing. Two, is it safe? Can you speak to, you know, that was my first aha moment, actually was for dad's. I got to give him credit. He was like, wait, my little girl going internationally. So can you speak to, is it safe to study for either boy or girl for an American?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I could talk all day on this. So I'll try to edit myself. I worry, like I said, my daughter's from a rebellion and she's staying in the US, you know, international education consultant. No, mom, I'm going to stay in the US. Part of that is because we lived abroad in Portugal for a few years and she had that experience. But I worry more about her being on the NC State campus than I would worry about her just about anywhere in Europe. I mean, it's people, I think it's, we live in a culture of fear, you know, so I think it's natural that people are think, oh, I don't know this. So it must be scary. It must be different. It must be something to be scared of. But I can also tell you that I've traveled as a woman to almost all of these countries in Europe by myself. And I've never been concerned for my safety. And so I would ask parents who wonder that, I would say, first of all, figure out what it is you're scared of. Like, is it, are you scared she's going to get pickpocketed? Is that the right verb tense? I'm not sure. But maybe she might. That might happen in New York as well or anywhere you travel. But if we're worried about safety, we're probably worried more about like assault and violence and sexual assault and all sorts of these other things that are on our mind because it happens here in the US. And then I would encourage people to look at the stats on that in the city or country that they're interested in, because the stats are there. I can sit here and tell you, yes, it's safe. But, you know, who's going to believe me until you look at the data behind it? So that's what I would encourage families to do, is define what safety is and look at the data.
And, you know, what's interesting about that, it's the same fear parents have here in the States. And I tell them the same thing. If you're going to the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, you can call the police department and say, hey, what is the reality? How many people have been assaulted? So if you would do it here, it's super wise to do it wherever you go. And I, like you, I've traveled as a single traveler, female, all over Europe, and I have never once felt in fear. No. So I agree with you there. Now, what about, do they have to know a second language? What is the whole language piece?
That's a good question. So English, the universities all around Europe have had these English taught programs for a long time. And actually the US is kind of, it's not for us, you know, it's not for Americans, it's not for Australians. We're actually coming to it pretty late in the game. And they have these because these are small countries. You want to pull international students for a number of reasons, for, you know, economic reasons, for cultural diversity reasons, for your workforce reasons. And so if you're in, you know, the Czech Republic, let's say, how many students who aren't Czech know Czech? Not very many. So you have to have a common language in which to teach these full programs in order to draw international students. And so that's why they have these all over the we focus on EU and EEA countries. So I say Europe, but that's what I'm referring to when I'm saying that. So that's why they have that, to draw international students. So it's not that international students are taking advantage of a system or anything like that. International students actually pay much more than EU students, still incredibly reasonable, but much more. And they don't need the language. And it's not being tacky to not know the language. You don't need to know it in your classes. All of your lectures, all of your readings, all of your assignments, your tests, all in English. Now, depending on where you're living, you might want to know some language to get around. If you're living in a place like the Netherlands, it's not needed so much. I mean, the English proficiency there is, you know, similar to Ireland, you know, it's everywhere. I was in Portugal even, and I was learning Portuguese, but I could get around with very, very basic Portuguese. Other places, France, when I go to France, I have more issues with the language barrier there. Most of our students get there and want to learn the language. Mm-hmm. You want to know how to, you know, order a beer when you go to the bar and, you know what to ask for at the grocery store and those sorts of things. So most of them learn at least a basic level.
It's amazing. So this past year, I hosted an Italian exchange student, and it was phenomenal. And the way she picked up on the language so rapidly because she was immersed in it was so phenomenal. And that's what I learned is, you know, she knew basic English, but she definitely wasn't conversational. A year later, fully conversational. So I agree. I think there's a lot of opportunity for these students to pick up another language. Now, the other question that, you know, came to our mind is, if a student gets a degree in Europe and they ultimately want to come back to the States, because that's what mom and dad want, what are their chances of getting a job?
Oh, that's such a good question. And I'm going to tie that to master's degrees first, because sometimes people think, oh, well, is a three-year program. Can I get a master's degree in the US if I have a three-year degree? And the answer there is yes. And we have some webinars on our website that people can look at for free And on some of them, I pulled the verbiage from, you know, prestigious universities in the US about their admissions requirements. And they say, if the bachelor's is 3 years, then it's fine. You know, it's a full bachelor's degree. And these are all accredited schools. So it does not limit anything there unless you're looking for med school. There can be some limits for med school. And I like to be completely transparent about that. Regarding careers, the good news is, we live in an internationalized world. You know, people, employers are not only valuing these international experiences, but they're seeking it because of the soft skills that students get from learning, living abroad. And so this is a different skill set than when you travel a lot, you know, or whatever. When you're living abroad, you're going to have to learn how to navigate unfamiliar circumstances on a very regular basis. You're going to be out of your comfort zone. You're going to, you know, work with groups of people who have very different backgrounds. And an example of this, at AAU, they have a monthly event called Professors in the Pub, and a different professor each month hosts it. And they have a discussion about world events, whatever, a specific world event. There's a topic. And in February, the topic, because of what was going on, was the Ukraine. So how valuable to be sitting in a room with, my son went to this one, with kids from the US, with kids from Russia, with kids from Ukraine, from kids from all over the world who have different backgrounds and experiences, sharing their thoughts about this with a professor leading the conversation. Like that gives me goosebumps thinking about that and thinking about how that changes their perspective on the world and their role in the world. So employers are looking for it. It's not just something I say. It's like there have been studies on this. And in our podcast this past year, we interviewed a lot of experts in the field who were involved in the research around this. So if anyone's interested in hearing somebody other than me say, yes, it helps with employability, there are some good sources there.
Absolutely. And I often tell parents, you know, when I let my son head off to college on the East Coast, it honestly felt like he was going to another part of the world. It was still an 8-hour flight at best.
Right.
And, you know, culturally coming from California to the East Coast was different. And there was some challenges that came with that and how much he grew in just that scope. So I can see it would be hugely beneficial. Now, another question that came to mind is, how hard or easy is it to apply? And once you get in, how does the visa and all of the paperwork settle in? Because that's where I'm at right now as a mom, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. So the application process, I have to tell you that the admissions process for me as a mother was as beneficial or as impactful, I should say, as the savings, you know, because we knew about this from the get-go. Sam knew that he wanted to do this. And so there are like 3,500 English taught bachelor's degree programs throughout Europe. There are about 350 of them that require American students to have something a little extra. And that's because the education system in that particular country, or those few particular countries, has the U.S. high school education system is not the equivalent of those. So they say, okay, U.S. student, you have a U.S. high school diploma, you need 3 or 4 AP scores of 3 or higher to apply. Now, again, people hear this and they think, oh, I can't go to Europe, I have to have APs. We're talking about 10%. There aren't that many, you know, so if you don't have APs, don't worry. But for those, what's refreshing about it, so we knew that. We knew Sam Leiden, where he went, they needed, I think it was 4 APs. So he spaced those out over sophomore, junior, senior year, and it was very manageable. And he was still able to, you know, learn Arabic outside of school and you know, work a part-time job and have dinner with his grandparents, have a balanced life. And so the thing is when you have those requirements, then it's pretty much that you're in. I mean, in some countries, it's completely transparent that you're in. In others, it's just kind of like, you know, like, so it's not like, oh, well, a guy next to me, he has 10 APs, so he's getting in and I'm not. They're not comparing you to the other applicants. They're comparing you to the admissions requirements. And it's just so transparent and such a different access philosophy on access to higher education. And people often think, well, that means it can't be a good school. But that's just not the case. We need to learn how to, I've had to learn how to look at things without such an American lens on it. You know, there are different ways of doing things, and that doesn't make one better or worse or a better school or more prestigious. It's just different.
Yes, it is. And I can't even tell you how excited I am for her to experience this. Okay. It's going to be so fun. So for our listeners, you know, what would be the first step you'd recommend for them to take? If this sounds either for the financial reasons, for the cultural reasons, for whatever reason, what would you recommend would be the first step for them to take?
So I often, people say, well, I don't know if I want to do this. You don't have to know if you want to do this yet. That's what exploring is, you know? And so exploring doesn't commit you to even applying to a school in Europe. I feel like any major life decision, anyone, we need to look at all of our options. You know, my husband and I, when we moved back to Portugal, we just bought a house and we looked at several houses. You know, that was part of the research, you know, we looked at different neighborhoods. We looked at all sorts of different things. Any decision, especially in this rapidly changing world, the options that our kids have for so many things are so different than we had. So we need to not limit them to just the options that we had and explore what really is out there. So the first step I would say is to embrace the fact that you're committing to exploring, not to following through with anything. And I mean, we have very rich resources, both free and paid. We have a number of blogs on our website, beyondthestates.com, where there are school visits. We have our student ambassadors, which, by the way, I'd love to talk to your daughter about next year, who do blogs and they do videos. And so you can kind of get a glimpse at what it looks like to be a student there. So a host of and the podcast. So lots and lots of free material to start your research. And then if you get to the stage of like, yeah, this sounds interesting, let me dig a little deeper, still, you don't have to be committing, then we have our membership, which can be very valuable. We have a searchable database, we have courses. And what I really love is our community of families in our private Facebook group. And I have to tell you, I'm in a number of Facebook groups, and there's always some level of like snark in most of the Facebook groups I'm in. There's always at least one who's making little comments and little digs. And we just don't have that in our community. It's just so supportive and helpful. And I love it not only as a founder, but also as a mom. I love being a part of the group. So I also think that recognizing that the timeline for exploring these can be different than in the US. If your kid's a rising senior and you're just hearing this and you're like, nope, it's too late. We've helped a number of students who just find out about it their senior year. Or if you have a freshman and you're like, no, too early, I can't start thinking about this. The great thing is if you start thinking about it, you can plan your courses accordingly and not have to get sucked into sort of the rat race or not be worried about how you're going to save 200 grand in the next, you know, 4 years or whatever it might be, which can be a really freeing position to feel as well.
Absolutely. And that's why I so wanted you on this podcast, because the goal of the College Ready podcast is to let people understand return on investment. That's time and money. And, you know, this is one option. There's so many options out there. And so I think that, you know, if a student really has that desire to maybe study abroad a semester, it may go deeper and may make sense. So I agree. Just exploring doesn't cost anything except time. And so if our listeners wanted to reach out to you, Jen, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Beyondthestates.com has all of our contact information for myself and the team, and a lot of other free resources you can dig into on there too. So that's the best place to start is beyondthestates.com. And our email is members@beyondthestates.com.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much for being with us, and we wish you much success.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to Parents, Is Your Teen College Ready? With Shelley Howard. Make sure to check the show notes for our expert guests' contact information, links, and more details on how to get Shelley's free best-selling book, How to Send Your Student to College Without Losing Your Mind or Your Money. Thanks again for listening.